Osage County, Oklahoma is getting a lot of attention right now. It's the setting of Martin Scorsese's latest film, Killers of the Flower Moon. The movie is based on a book about the 1920s Osage murders, when white men poured into Osage County and killed Osage people for their oil wealth. I'm Rachel Adams Heard, the host of In Trust, a podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartMedia. For over a year, I was reporting a different story about other ways white people got Osage land and wealth, and how a prominent ranching family in Osage County became one of the biggest landowners here. Their ranching empire was built on land that at the turn of the century was all owned by the Osage Nation. So how'd they get it? Listen to the award-winning podcast, In Trust, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the business of sports.
Should Major League Baseball shorten up the season?
How do we present football to the audience of the future?
I don't think that most players understand the power that they have.
Michael Barr.
The future of IndyCar racing is looking bright.
Scott Soschnick.
Very basic math here. More bidders means more money.
Evan Novi-Williams.
The team value has essentially quadrupled.
And the leaders in the sports industry.
Time to bring in our guest, Cal Steinbrenner.
National Hockey League Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Atlanta Braves President Derek Schiller.
Patriots President Jonathan Kraft.
Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
I'm Evan Novi-Williams.
And I'm Michael Barr, and this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. You know, I'm not even doing bummer.
You shouldn't.
Where we explore the big money issues.
Evan
in the world
thinks
of
it's
sports.
A victory. Look at him. He's pumping his fist like he's won something.
You know what? Then let's do it.
Where we
explore the big money issues in the world of sports. Let's start.
It's a play by himself.
Goodness. But you know what? No. Before we get into the topics, and I know you don't like self-congratulatory things, but I want to congratulate you guys because Monday was, we had the big sports luncheon, and you guys worked your tails off trying to put all that together. And this is a big round of applause to you guys because we had Randy Levine and many other people who are big wigs in the world of sports, and you guys put it together, and you guys need a pat on the back.
Well, thank you, Barr.
No, that needed to be said.
Thank you.
That's about as much of a warm and fuzzy you're going to get from me because Mike Trout just signed, holy moly, that's $440 million, the highest in sports ever. Any pro
440,
sports.
440, is that right?
430, I believe.
430?
But
what's 10 million between friends?
Give me the return. I need to know. And, you know, Artie Moreno is looking to buy some RSNs. And I'm looking for the return on investment on this. I want to know how they sat down and calculated. Yeah, we know he's a great player. How many World Series have the Angels won with Mike Trout? What's their attendance? What's their TV ratings? I mean, I need to know the metrics.
How many playoff games?
How many playoff? That's what I mean. I need to know the metrics behind this.
Well, you're going to get people in the ballpark.
You're not going to get any more people in the ballpark. He's been there.
Well, but you're going to get people that's going to watch. Now, because if anything, people are going to be saying, there's the dude that's getting $430 million.
I don't think anybody else is tuning in because Mike Trout's not making more money. I really don't. That's my question. I'd love to see the baseball ops besides the business ops people saying this is why it makes sense from both. I mean, from the baseball side, I get it. Until this takes him to age 39, it's not as if we don't have some analytics on the historical trends of production of baseball players at a certain age. Let's see.
I mean, look, he's the best player in baseball.
Yes.
He has been for a long time. We just did a Business Week, a big data viz on, you know, baseball players' salary versus performance. He is an outlier in terms of how good he is right now and has been since his rookie year.
In the prime of his career, he's an outlier.
In the prime of his career.
Yes.
I don't think, I mean, you're right. At the end of his career, when Mike Trout is 39 playing for the Los Angeles Angels or wherever the team is based at that point, that he is not going to be this player, right? And I think the Angels know that. But, you know, there are other ways that he is valuable, right? And, you know, we saw this total mixed analogy, but we saw this a little bit with the Islanders and John Tavares, right? People feel an affinity for players who come up were drafted by their team, have helped their team reach a level of national attention.
But I'm not so sure that's the best. I don't think that's the example you want to give, because John Tavares leaves and the Islanders' production has gone up.
Look, the Islanders would obviously love to prefer to have John Tavares still there.
I don't know. I'm not saying. Come on. One of the questions I want to have for Lou Lamoriello and the others there is, give me the pros and cons of the distribution of salary. Is this a better way, without committing so much money in a cap system? Don't commit so much money.
Okay, let's go back to Trout, because it's not a cap system. Trout is not a cap system.
No, but it's a tax system.
They have a very big regional sports network deal, right? It's a $3 billion deal over 20 years. Yeah, look.
By the way, the sub fees are going to go up on that now.
I'm sure.
For all you viewers of the Southern California area, dig deep.
Exactly, which is part of how this process works, and it's in the entire ecosystem. I don't know. It's obviously way too early to say if this is a bad deal or not, but I'm sure there are Angels fans out there who are happy that this happened.
Albert Pujols had a big deal too.
Well,
his teammate,
and so did Josh. And so did Josh Hamilton, right? The Angels don't have a good history with these deals.
They don't.
You know, we'll see.
But what's sad is, on the other side of the tracks, which kind of goes with this story, which I'm glad the Toronto Blue Jays are doing this in their minor leagues. They are wanting to raise the salaries to what was it, a 50%?
About an average of 50%.
About 50%.
So that Vlad Guerrero Jr.
from pittance to mayor, right? It's acceptable.
What's sad is, I mean, we still had that ruling where, after 40 hours, that's it. You don't get overtime if you're a minor league player. And we all know that it's just 40 hours that these guys spend. And then you get a lunch break in between the fifth and sixth inning.
Be great if they're tied at the end of, like, bottom of the ninth, still tied.
Yeah.
Forget it.
We're done here.
I've worked 40 hours this week. We're done.
I just wonder what those guys think about it when they see big contracts like Trout at 4:30, Bryce Harper at 3:30. What do they think?
They think, I wish I was as good as Mike Trout or Bryce Harper.
I bet you there's also, you know, we've talked about this before, that there's this big kind of war of words going on in baseball right now between players and owners. Players saying that owners are not, you know, not willing to pay money that they used to be willing to pay. I bet you there's a part of, you know, some players out there who see these deals and they think, okay, well, at least some owner out there, at least Moreno, is willing to open the bank on a big long-term deal for a guy who's
not
going to
pay this
40
guy
at the end. Right. So I'm sure there's some, you know, there's jealousy. I'm sure there's some people out there who are maybe a little relieved, at least happy that these deals are happening at all.
Bar, you know what I would do? We talk a lot about, like, minority participation in baseball waning, and they're working hard to sort of aim at that community. I would go and I would talk to the parents of every dominant athlete, age 13, 14, find the football players. I really would. And say, have you seen what the baseball players are making these days?
Yeah.
Are you noticing these contracts? But by the way, that's guaranteed. Your son is uber talented, could probably play baseball and be very good. This football thing, the injuries, the head trauma, the non-guaranteed. You sure you want to go that route?
A tenth of what Mike Trout is about to get is a super contract in the NFL.
Yeah.
That tells you something.
It does. By the way, the NFL makes more revenue. Yeah. It generates more revenue.
For folks out there, Russell Okung, the former offensive lineman in the NFL, had a good thread on Twitter this week about NFL salaries, kind of debunking a few myths. And it started off by talking about Trout and exactly the point you just made, Michael, that there are very big differences between the size of a big deal in the NFL and the size of the big deal in Major League Baseball.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Let's talk about the AAC and the billion-dollar media rights. What's up?
Yeah, the American Athletic Conference, which for college sports fans,
not a Power Five,
not a Power Five school, but the biggest of the other five football conferences. So kind of in this nebulous region between.
Give me some schools, Evan,
the Big Five.
I can't keep track.
The AAC is, you know, it's Temple. It's
Temple football.
Navy is in there for football, oh, right? Okay. It's Memphis. It's Tulane. It's
Far, not eye popping right now.
There's a number of others. Houston, Cincinnati, right? It's right. A lot of the football schools from the old Big East. They have their media rights were up. They have a big deal, right? It's a 12-year, $1 billion deal. It's almost 4x over what their previous deal was with ESPN. This is for almost all of their live content. Spare a few games that are going to go to CBS as part of a different deal. A pretty big deal, I think, for them. I mean, we've talked a bit about how, you know, if you're a premium rights holder in the NFL or in sports right now, the new media landscape is probably good for you, and we've seen tons of evidence of that. Was the American Athletic Conference a premium sports product? Unclear, but it certainly seems as though right now, you know, anytime your rights goes up 4x, that seems like a pretty good indication for you. Just to put it in context, schools in the AAC, when this deal starts in 2020, are going to share about, each of them is going to get about $7 million a year from this media contract.
Well, this is what I was going to ask. It's like, how do they break that down?
Yeah, it's $7 million. If you're in the Big Ten, you're getting $50 million. If you're in the Pac-12, 31, SEC, 44, ACC, high 20s, Big 12, 34 million. There is a huge still financial
gap. That answers when he said, is it a premium? The answer is no.
Sure.
Good for them, but not premium.
But, I mean, every league, you know, if you're the Sun Belt Conference, if you're Conference USA, some of these back-end conferences, if I told you right now that your rights would go up 4x, I think they would be thrilled by that.
What I'm excited about, I want to see... because they made a big deal out of it, the Pac-12, when they hired Rain Group, because they own all of their content.
Yep.
And that, you know, Larry Scott there, and the conference schools had been falling behind the others, not only in how much they were receiving, but sort of on the, it trickled down to on the field of play in the football. So nobody happier than Rain and the Pac-12 when they see something like this, because that is premium content. Those are serious brand name schools in the major sports. Going to be very fun to see how that works.
And the Pac-12 network has the Pac-12 conference has the Pac-12 networks, which the AAC does not have, right? It does not have its own linear conference deal.
Correct.
But yes, this is at least an indication that, you know, we know at least where the bottom of the line is not in college football in terms of rights. And, you know, the sixth conference, the sixth best conference in football, has seen a significant boost. 12 years also feels like a fairly long time, right? There's going to be a lot of changes in media, obviously.
I'm not sure I'd lock in anything for 12 years at this point.
And there's not a clause in this, a grant of rights if a team leaves, right? So this is a deal that, you know, there's some protection, but not fully. If we see in 2022 and 2023 a significant new round of conference realignment, these AAC schools are the schools that are most likely to make the jump up if the Big 12 wants to expand, if the Big 10 wants to expand, etc. So who knows what this conference even looks like 12 years from now.
Ding, ding, ding. Bonus, I got to ask this because you know what's we are upon the NCAA men's bracket. And I just wonder, and there's so much gambling going on, is this more popular with gamblers than the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah, there's more games.
There's more games.
Yeah, there's just so much more to bet on.
If you're a Las Vegas operator, the first 4 days of this tournament, so your Thursday through Sunday of the first two rounds, is worth a little bit more handle and money-wise than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It's, you know, people...
When were you thinking about that?
Well,
on your drive,
on
your
my
shower?
Drive,
when were you
thinking
about
that?
With the DraftKings app open?
The draft app,
yeah, right.
But, no, I mean...
Lap 57 of some NASCAR race you were watching. When were you thinking about that, Bob?
This is big. By the way, who do you have? Who do you think is going to go over?
I got nothing.
You've got nothing?
I got nothing. I haven't even thought about it.
Oh,
it's been bad. I seriously have not. I'm writing... look for it later this week on the Bloomberg Terminal. I've never done
plug.
That before.
Look at that plug.
I do it. Obviously, we focus on sports business, but I just wanted to have a little fun this week. So I've spoken to a bunch of Duke alums on Wall Street, David Rubenstein included.
Yes.
Sort of with Zion and how much attention this team has gotten. What sort of community has been created among the Duke alums? How closely are they following it? I'll put it to you this way. Every single person I spoke with is planning a trip to Minneapolis.
Really?
Every single person I spoke with has told me, I'm lining up my tickets. If they go, I go. And they're leaving that calendar date open.
Duke against UNC?
Oh, that would be the best.
I think UNC would take it.
Is that, the brackets allow for it?
I think it does.
No, but I mean in the final, in the championship.
I think it allows for it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Michael Barr who said that's a possibility. I do not
it
know.
It does, yes.
I'm looking at it right now. Duke Carolina is a distinct possibility in the championship game. Which would be
their fourth.
Bongo.
And I believe the first three were the three highest rated college basketball games of the year so far.
Right.
Yes, that would be insane. Look for Duke to lose to North Dakota State University.
There we go. That's your pick. I'd like to see all the alums. You know, wouldn't that be fun if you had like the front row opposing each other? All the Carolina alums on one side and all the Duke alums on the other back in their school. Think about like who would be sitting behind the benches for that. And then you'd have, I mean, just for fun as part of the weekend, you'd have to have an alumni game somewhere.
I would pay
to see the alumni game.
That would be fun.
I would. So surely one of these streaming operators, ESPN Plus or whatever, somebody has to give me this game, the Duke versus NC alumni game.
DAZN will put $20 billion behind that idea.
with a fight at halftime.
Let's wrap it up. This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr along with Scott Soschnick and Evan W. Williams.
We are here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday exploring the world of money and sports.
Join us again at the end of the week when we speak with Mark Hurd, the CEO of Oracle.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world and online where you get your podcasts.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.